in your Bibles to the New Testament book of 1 John, towards the end of your Bible. We're finishing up our journey through the New Testament. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. This past week we read 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, a little book of Jude, and we started Revelation in our reading this past week. So 1 John chapter 3, one verse, just verse number 18. That's all we're going to read, and we're going to talk about that this morning. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand while I read just this one verse here this morning. 1 John chapter 3, verse 18. Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, all of your scripture is rich with truth. And it's also rich in giving us direction in our lives. So, Father, my prayer this morning is that with this one little verse, give us direction that we as Christians need to go. Things that we need to do, the action that we need to take, that we can be true representatives of you. And to you will be the glory. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. Well, in our journey through the New Testament in 2012, we have now finished and completed the 21 epistle letters, all the way from Romans, all the way through the book of Jude. And let's just have a quick review. I break the 27 New Testament books down into four sections: the four Gospels, the book of Acts, the 21 epistles, and then the book of Revelation, which we will start reading this week. And throughout this journey, we wanted to see what happens with, one, the gospel message, and two, what happens with the church in each one of these four sections. And just as a refresher, the four gospel books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they were the proclamation of the gospel message, and it was the conception of the church. The book of Acts was the circulation of that gospel message and the proliferation of the church, which meant it was growing, and it was growing rapidly. And the 21 epistles, they were the explanation of the gospel message, and they were the rectification of the church. Rectification, to rectify something, means that something is in error, E-R-R-O-R, and that something needs corrected. And it didn't take long in the early days of the church for there to be false teaching to infiltrate the early church back in that time. And by the time the three epistles of John were written, which was somewhere around 85 to 95 A.D., a false teaching known as Gnosticism was finding its way into the church. Gnosticism. It's a big long word. G-N-O-S-T-I-C-I-S-M. Gnosticism. And this teaching taught this, and I had some of this in the bulletin last week, if you remember reading that. It taught that spirit was good, but anything material was evil. So they taught, the Gnostics would teach, that Jesus was only spirit, and he was never flesh and blood, because if Jesus would have been flesh and blood, that would have been material, and things that were material were evil. So they were teaching this false teaching that Jesus was only spirit. And they also taught this, that in order to be saved, in order to have salvation, you had to ascend to a knowledge of that true salvation. In other words, they were going around saying something like this. We would, in the vernacular, we would say this today: I know something you don't know. I know something you don't know. And they were coming into churches saying, you know all that teaching that you were taught by Paul or the elders or these other people? Well, that's not true. Do you want to know the real truth? Well, here's the real truth. You have to ascend to the truth. And let me share what that truth is. And maybe if you're spiritual enough, you'll grasp it and you'll get to know what that is. The Greek word, the word Gnostic or Gnosticism, comes from the Greek word ginosko, which means to know. So in other words, they were saying this, you have to know the real truth, not these other things that are being taught. So one more thing about that word Gnostic, G-N-O-S-T-I-C. If you put an A in front of that word, you have the word agnostic. It's a word we use today, don't we? We might not use the word Gnostic today, but we do use the word agnostic today. So if a Gnostic was a person or is a person who does know the truth, or at least thinks they know the truth about God, an agnostic would be a person who would say this: yes, there might be a God, but you can never get to know that God. You can never ascend to the knowledge of that God. So that's what an agnostic would be. A Gnostic would also preach this. A Gnostic would say this. The reason he would say that, since everything that is matter or material is considered evil, then there's no moral consequence. Because you see, the part that saves me is the spirit side. So this part over here that's evil, it can be as immoral as it wants to be, because it's no longer of any consequence. So when they start teaching this, this led to something called licentiousness, which is a disregard for all the rules, especially the rules on the sexually immoral side. So the Gnostics would come into the churches and teach, well, you have to ascend to this knowledge. And not only that, Jesus was never in the flesh, he was only spirit. And since spirit is good and matter is evil, then what you do with your body really does not matter. So they were actually preaching a gospel of one of severe licentiousness and sexual immorality. So, if we know this as the background of the church at that time, it should help us as we read the words of 1 John. Now just imagine, this is what's being taught, these kinds of false teachings. So as we read John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, we know that the words of this small epistle, not only do they rebuke such teaching, but John is also teaching his readers this. Here's what is required to be a true Christian. Forget about that Gnostic teaching that teaches this and this and this. Here's what true Christianity is all about. And he puts some things down in these books, and they actually are faith testers. That these things, if we do these things, they're actually a test of our faith. And I come up with a list of them as I just read through the book of 1 John. And it starts off with, here's three cannots. We cannot claim to be without sin, is what he says. Second thing, we cannot continue in our sin. And number three, we cannot love the world. Those are three things that are a test of our Christianity, a test of our faith. But then he goes on to say this. These are positive things. We acknowledge Jesus as the Son of God. We believe in the name of Jesus. We must walk in the light. We obey his commands. We must love our brothers and sisters. We do the will of God. We test the spirits. And we remain with the brethren. In other words, what John is saying is this. We are not like those Gnostic unbelievers, those false teachers. We prove and we test our Christianity by these tests. We cannot claim to be without sin. We cannot continue in our sin. We cannot love the world. We acknowledge Jesus as God. We believe in the name of Jesus. We walk in the light, etc., etc., etc. So how do we do with these tests? If we took the test and we measured ourselves up against those things that John says, how do we do in our test of our Christianity? Out of all those tests that I gave you, I did leave out one. I did leave out one, and it just so happens to be the one that is found in 1 John chapter 3, verse 18. So let me read that one verse to you again. We read it earlier. It says this, "Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. Actions and in truth. We all know the Great Commission, right? The Great Commission. Going out and share the gospel message with everyone to all parts of the world. We need to spread the gospel message to everyone that we come in contact with. And that does require us to use some words. We do have to speak truth into their lives, either from the pulpit or a conversation at work with our family. Because Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. People have to hear the message. So we have to speak the message in order for them to hear it. But there's another part to that. How else can we evangelize? What John is telling us here is that this, that quite often our Christianity is played out in front of other people by the way we act. And the way we act is a reflection of whose we are. And that action that we perform in front of other people just might make someone curious to want what we have. Now let me say that again, because that might be the way a lot of us evangelize. That our Christianity is played out in front of other people by the way we act. And the way we act is a reflection of whose we are. And that action that these people see just might make an unbeliever curious to want what we have. You'd want other unbelievers to have what you have, don't you? Don't you wish you could just share the gospel with them one time, or they come up to you and ask you a question and boom, they'd be saved just like that? That'd be wonderful. St. Francis of Assisi once said this, go make disciples of all nations, and if necessary, use words. This faith in action is exactly the same thing that James was talking about back in his epistle, back in chapter 2, when he says these couple things. He says this, I will show you my faith by what I do. And then later on in that chapter, he says this, faith without works is dead. Good. Faith without works is dead. But let's remember this. Let's just make this clear, that the deeds and the actions by themselves do not save us. The deeds and actions are a result of our faith. It's like the horse and the cart. The horse is our salvation. The cart is the works that we pull along with us. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says this, that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So, here's the question for this morning. How willing are we to do the good works that God wants us to do? Does God ever place a burden on your heart to do a certain something that might not require any words whatsoever, but they may require your actions? How willing are we to do those things? How willing are we to do whatever we know that God asks us to do? If I would just throw that question out there, would you answer and say, yeah, I'm willing to do whatever he asks? Would you be willing to say that? Or would you say, time out. Let me know what that something is first, and then let me think about it. You ever know the canned Christian answer is, you know, if somebody doesn't want to do something, they'll say, oh, let me pray about it first. You ever hear them say that? You know, they'll say that. Hey, I've said it myself, you know. You may put your faith in action if God asks you to put your faith in action, and if you feel the leading of the Holy Spirit. But what if I was to ask you to put your faith in action? Would you still give the same answer? Well, I said I was going to do something a little bit different this Sunday, and I am. And here comes the part where I do something a little bit different. This is Christmas season, right? Christmas, time of giving. Time of celebration, time we worship the baby Jesus. So this morning, if you're willing to do something, I need to stand up here with me this morning, 5 volunteers. I need 5 people. And it can't be 5 guys and it can't be 5 girls. It's got to be a mixture of come on up. First 5 people up here get to do what I'm going to ask you to do. Well, we got the Christie sisters up here. And we got Tim Truslow and we got Kim and we got Linda who are willing to say, Mike, whatever you ask me to do on behalf of God, I am going to do. Is that correct? Amber. Tim, Kim, Linda, Ariel. And you don't require the list or anything.
No, because we trust you.
You trust me. Isn't that wonderful? I'm glad that you do. So let's do this. You two stand. I'm going to kind of stand over here, and you kind of stand in line so everybody in the congregation can see the faces of these 5 people as I challenge them for what they are about to do, okay? It's kind of amazing because as I was preparing for this, I thought, I wonder who the 5 people would be. I wonder who they would be. And I ain't going to tell you how many I got right, but I did get 2 right. So here's the deal. The deal is this. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. And Merry Christmas. And Merry Christmas. I just gave each one of you a Christmas present, a gift card to Walmart. You wish you would have come forward now, don't you? Why didn't I get up? You have just been given a gift card to Walmart. But there's a caveat with that gift card. Okay, are you ready? It's a Walmart gift card, and it's for $10 each, okay? You must take this gift card to Walmart, okay? Because that's the only place where you can spend it. You cannot spend the gift card on yourself, okay? Glad you sat down now, aren't you? You cannot spend the gift card on yourself. You must go into Walmart and give it to somebody that you don't know. Okay? You have to use this between today and Christmas Eve. So today's the 16th through the 24th. You have all that time that you get to go into Walmart and you need to give that card to somebody. Now, who you give it to is between you and God. I'm not going to tell you who to give it to. You give it to whoever you feel like the Lord is placing on your heart. That man, that woman, that child, whoever. That's between you and God. You got to give that card away. Another caveat. Please do not tell the person, don't give them your name, and don't give them the name of this church. Because the church is not important. The name is not important. If you do want to express your Christianity in some way, that is fine. Okay? All right? That's okay. But the church is of no consequence, and your name is of no consequence. They don't need to know that. Once you give the gift card to whoever you give it to, my suggestion would be this. Leave the store so they just don't see you around, or else they'll go get their friend and say, if you go up to that lady, she's going to give you a gift card. So you must give this gift card to somebody. Again, you must use it before the 24th. So that means you've got to find yourself at Walmart. 2 weeks from today, all right, you ready, congregation? 2 weeks from today, these same 5 people, Ariel, I hope you'll be back in 2 weeks. You better. You are now. In 2 weeks from today, on the 30th of December, these same 5 people are going to come forward during the service, and they're going to tell us what happened to them. They're going to tell us their experience, okay? What happened to the person and what happened to you as you gave your gift freely? Okay? Do you have any questions? Okay? You're ready to go out and do what God has asked you to do? Okay, remember, somebody you don't know. Okay? you may sit back down. And if you want to write something on those envelopes, that's do whatever. Christmas. It's a time of giving gifts, is it not? We give gifts. The best gift that was ever given was born right here in a manger and lived a sinless life and died on a cross for us, the gift of eternal life. I read to you earlier Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, we are God's workmanship, but if you remember verses 8 and 9, which go in front of that, say this, that we are saved by grace through faith, and this is not of ourselves, it is a what? Gift from God. It is a gift from God. We have been given a gift. And sometimes at Christmas, it's important that we give gifts, and certainly without expecting anything in return. I think that's the best gift giving of all. When we give from our hearts without expectation in return. Because John tells us right here in verse number 18, dear children, let us not love with words or with tongue, but with action and in truth. So as you go throughout the rest of this day and throughout the rest of this week, go on out there and remember, your actions sometimes speak louder than words, don't they? As the saying goes. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to 2 weeks when Linda and Ariel and Amber and Kim and Tim, come on back up here, and they share their experience with all of us of what it was like to give without expecting absolutely anything in return, to give to somebody that we have no clue who they are, to spread the good news in some way of Jesus Christ. Let's go to God in prayer.